Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is David Murphy, your host for the National Black Unity News Podcast. And I want to welcome my partner, Brother Satawi Jahi, who is our co-host, and he can be on in a few minutes. I also want to introduce to you, as some of you probably already know, Michelle Richards. We have a very small crew this evening in the Zoom call, but hopefully some people will be chiming in as we move forward. But as Ms. Bricks and I just said, when two or three are gathered, you know, we're going to go forth, you know. And tonight's subject, we'll be talking about our women and the importance of our women and how significant our women are. And, but, you know, we don't even really need, shouldn't even really need to discuss this, but, you know, because mass media has always not only put black people as second and third class citizens, but they had already deemed, see, women have the devil whammy on them. They had deemed them as second class, third class citizens as well. But being a black woman, you know, wow. But in any case, that's what they say. But, you know, we know different and God knows difference. But in any case, before we get started, we always like to bring some positive information to you by this positive brother. Brother Satawi Jahi, you got it, sir.
All right, David, thank you. As we do, we always open up the show with readings from Daily Motivations for African American Success, written by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. It's a blueprint for eliminating poverty in our families. And so I suggest people pick up that book, read it, and try to implement his strategies. I'm still working on some of them. Reading for the night goes like this, March 13th, instant credit. My father always told me that I was the best, that there was no one better than me. Being able to define myself as something I attribute to my father and his positive arrogance. Charlene Hunter Galt, news reporter. The ego craves appreciation and receives pleasure from the approval of others. Approval, praise, and love are the great motivators in life. When we are patted on the back, we feel happy and worthwhile. When we're criticized, we feel inadequate and out of balance. Why do we feel good when we are praised? Because praise is acknowledgement and confirmation of worth. Praise tells us that we are respected, needed, and appreciated, that we belong. So often we withhold praise. Sometimes it's because we don't want to appear patronizing or too personal. At other times, we simply don't make the effort. We forget that everyone enjoys appreciation, a pat on the back, a word of praise. So praise others and don't forget to praise yourself when you deserve it. The best way to appreciate your friends, said Mike Espy, Secretary of Agriculture, is to imagine yourself without any. And North Carolina Mutual Insurance founder Charles Clinton Spaulding lived by the maxim, a slap on the back often pushes out the chest. It is so easy and so pleasurable to participate in someone's life by saying a few constructive words. Sincere praise takes little effort and less time, but the effort is enormous and immediate. The recipients of your praise will hold their heads higher and try a bit harder to confirm your opinion. You will feel a glow from the warmth you have spread. I will give praise where praise is due. And that's right. People always need praise, you know. So it's important that we praise each other. And if you don't have nothing good to say about somebody, then don't say anything bad.
Whatever you say, you know.
So keep in mind, you know, offer good praise to people. And so I praise you, Brother David Murphy, for all the good work you have done and continue to do.
All right, sir, I appreciate that. And of course, you know, I appreciate you as well, sir. And like I say, you and I, we go a long way back. And I mention you quite often. I just mention you this Saturday, thinking about praise. We was at an event this past Saturday where they highlighted Brother Bill Gooden. who's the co-founder of the National Black Unity News and Black Men, Unifying Black Men, and so many more things that he's involved with. And they also had Brother Doc Cheatham, who's been out there in Baltimore on the front line on so many different fronts for so many different years, true soldiers. And also we had Dr. Andre Humphrey, who was with the trauma response team, as well as Sharon Black, who also is what I call a frontline soldier who always stood in the gap for us as the people. And you know, and yours truly, they, you know, they selected me as well. And we all had opportunity to share. And it was such an honor because, you know, when you've been on the battlefield and you've been a servant for so many years, which was everybody who was being appreciated that evening was true soldiers, because I've known their history. You know, people, we can talk the talk, but when you walk it, it's a totally different story. And these are the type of people who walk with you or without you, but they're mission driven and they do this thing, you know, because that's what's in their spirit and that's what's on their hearts. And so again, I want to say kudos to Dr. Lady J for hosting the event and for inviting us in. And they fed us a good meal too. And so, you know, good fellowship. And so, you know, I appreciate her for her efforts to bring us together. And she has a large audience on, which is called social media. But today, as our gallery is growing, as I see, as we speak, you know, of course, everybody knows this is Black history. I mean, what I keep saying Black, well, that's what I celebrate. But, you know, it's all women, because I didn't mention Sharon Black. She's of a Caucasian persuasion, as I say. And but this lady has put in work. And see, God is no respecter of person, neither am I. But my mission is to uplift us Black melanated people. And I will continue to do so, because that's what I believe in my heart. Because, like I say, in man's world, in this world, you know, the playing field is not equal. And as many of you heard me say that, you know, we have to operate on several different laws. One is God's laws, natural laws, and man's laws. And we have to serve all three at the same time. And but God proceeds, far as I'm concerned, over all the rest. And so when we come to man, we have to render to Caesar's what is Caesar's, but render to God what is God. But in any case, today, as we move forward in the month of March, and as we move forward with the National Black Unity News, before we start getting into our conversation, I just want to share a little bit about who we are, what we do, and why we do it. The National Black Unity News is a solution-oriented publication, and it's by us and it's for us. And it's very unique in many ways. It's not traditional at all. What makes us so different is because we have a host of people, host of servants, as I call them, that support this publication financially and with their hearts and with their spirits. And they share information to uplift us as a people. They come from so many different angles. This is the type of information you will not find in any other publication. And I mean that, any other publication. And so that's what makes us so unique, because the information we give you is good for all season, yesterday, today, and tomorrow as well. And I just want to thank those who support the publication, those who have supported the publication, and those who will. They don't even know yet, but you know, the paper, people are coming and people are going. But one thing, if you were ever in the publication, you know, this is the way I personally feel, that you were sent. You were sent for a reason and sent for such a time. And I always like to extend to those who may not be in our current issue, but they're still family. They're still part of us. And I'm a part of them, and I appreciate all the efforts that, you know, that have came forth. But in any case, ladies and gentlemen, enough about the publication. You know, it's time that we have open conversations about certain things. And, you know, I was one of those people which you, some may have called an introvert when I was a young person because of various reasons, the way I perceived things. But, you know, and people will sometimes ask you questions, well, people, you know, what's wrong with you? And the media's wrong, and then you soak, and then you say nothing. And so how could anybody help me if they didn't really know what was going on, you know? And sometimes we have to open up. That's why it's so important to share our stories, because you never know. And before we get in, I'm just going to share that. I just mentioned something about Saturday. The host, Lady Jade, mentioned something. She mentioned something about her childhood, the trauma that she suffered as a child, and it lasted into her adulthood. And then strange as may be, and it wasn't strange to me at all, but Phil Gooden, let me see if somebody got it. Can you please mute yourself if you... Okay.
You are muted. You
okay.
can mute
I'm
or
muted.
Unmute
I'm
yourself
muted, Dave.
By pressing
okay.
star
I,
6.
I didn't say you, Bill. No, I was talking about you. And I was just ready to say Bill Gooden shared some information at this event Saturday that when he was in school, he had a teacher that approached him and gave him a book by Richard Wright. And it turned his life upside down. You know, he began to read, you know, tremendously. And then Doc Cheatham came up there and he explained to people that, you know, since Doc been out there for a long time, but he explained to people that a couple of years ago that he was talking about giving up and giving in. But then God got a hold of him, and now he's doing more things. Just, you know, he's out there, you know, he's still serving. And Bill, Ty Cheatham, and I, we all in our 70s now. And then Sharon Black came up there and said something, too. She said that, because I told people also that I was, you know, was an introvert when I was young and how those things affected me when I was a young person. And she came behind all of us and said that she had something that happened to her when she was young, and she wouldn't talk for 2 years. Then she went on to say that one of the books inspired her greatly, and Bill and Sharon are very good friends, and they never knew this about each other, but she had read Richard Wright as well. And see, sometimes, because if you don't know, if you don't share sometimes, you never know the commonality that you have with one another, and then you can also see how God had moved in people's lives in so many similar ways. And see, I was truly impressed because, you know, I am impressed with God, but now I'm at the point in my life I just watch back and watch God work. And God, and he really does work. If you open your eyes, you will see. You know. But in any case, tonight I want, we have a few of our ladies on here with us, and I just want to ask them a few questions. I'm going to start with Miss Cheryl Rich. Can you unmute yourself?
I'm unmuted.
Uh-huh. You know I pick on everybody because it's a reason. So, you know, they like God to always be ready. And but in any case, first of all, I want to thank you for your participation in the publication. I also want to participate, I want to show my appreciation to you as a friend as well. Because Cheryl Rich and I, we meet quite often and we share information with one another and we support one another. But Cheryl does quite a few things. You know, she's the author. She's the motivation speaker. I think she's an organizer. She helps people, you know, with books, you know, and she does so much. But Cheryl has, you know, explained to me, you know, it has not always been easy. And Cheryl, as a woman, the way you was brought up and the way you are now, and I know that's many, you know, transitions that has taken place in your life. Mm-hmm. But at this point in your life, you're speaking of black, you know, women, Mark, far as you are concerned, as a woman, what is your, you don't have to speak about some of the things if you don't want to, but I'm just saying, as a woman, the way you see things in this society, as a woman, Do you feel as though they treat you as a second-class citizen, or do you think you'd be disrespected by men, or, you know, just as a woman, if you had an open audience, which you do right now, what situation do you feel just as being a woman? Is there any problems that you face just because of that? This day I'm talking about.
No. You know, I've learned a lot of things on this journey called life and womanhood. And one of the things that I learned is that people can't make you feel anything. Whatever you're feeling or not feeling is coming from within. And people can treat us badly. They can try to make us feel small. They can try to devalue us. They can try to make us feel like, you know, we're insignificant or we don't matter, we don't count. All of that stuff is an outside attack from the enemy. But we don't have to subscribe to it. It's like people can say a lot of things about a lot of people. And it's up to the people that they're saying it to believe it or adapt it or become what someone calls them. And there's a lot of things that I learned through God's word. And one thing I read in the word that says, do not be easily offended. And recognize who God says we are, not what people say we are, not who broken people say we are, not who people who hate themselves say we are, not people who judge our conduct or our behavior and then try to make us, you know, our mistakes and failures and shortcomings. So a lot of things can be said, and there's a lot of things that can be done. And I've learned to take the good and leave the bad. I've learned that there's a lot of things that's offered to you, whether it's good, whether it's bad. And you can decide what you take and what you receive. So for me, I try to put my stuff out there in a way to diffuse people who wanna be negative or wanna feel like they're less because of who they might perceive me to be, or they might feel like I can't be all that they can be because of something that I may have or not have. So I think a lot of stuff, you know, really comes from how you see yourself, whether you healed or whether you whole, or whether you're broken or whether you're still struggling to discover who God says you are and who you created to be. So there's a lot of people aimlessly walking through life, male, female, white, black, you know, green, brown. It don't matter. A lot of things is happening because we're unclear about who we are. When you clear about who you are, what people say about you doesn't cut. I mean, I know that thing of what, you know, words, you know, sticks and stones may break my head, my bones, but words will never. Words do hurt if you allow them to. And some things we have to take with a grain of salt. Some things we just can't receive. Some things we can't accept. And even though people offer it, it's almost like one day I was talking to somebody about how somebody can be cussing you at one side and down the next. You're just sitting there, taking that abuse instead of getting up and leaving. We just stay there, and they keep cussing, and this goes on for, you know, 35, 40, for a whole hour. And the person that's feeling the victim is sitting there taking that abuse. But if they know who they are, like, hey, I can't be all that for you. I am out of here. And so getting to know who you really are and who you really not, and try and not subscribing to what people say you are when that's not who you are, I think a lot of that has to do with it, because people can do a lot of things, and it's up to you, you know, and it's kind of like this. There's people in the world that want to break the law. There's people who want to hurt, kill, and destroy. At the same time, there's people who want to help people. You know, they want to make the world better. And you got all of us living in this world together. And usually like-minded people gravitate to like-minded people. You know, if you shucking and jiving, you cussing and fussing, you hurting and killing, you're going to be surrounded with other people like that. And at the same time, if you're a giver, you help and you make a difference, you trying to be a solution to what's going on in the world instead of part of the problem, those people are going to gravitate to them. So when you're not clear about who you are and you don't recognize your value and worth and you just subscribe to anything because you don't know who you are, then you'll get these kinds of things. And it's just like I was talking before. If somebody cussing you out one side down the next, you don't have to take it. Get up and go. You don't have to take it. Somebody want to offer you something. And another thing, I kind of surmise it like this. People can offer you a lot of things, abuse, good, bad, you know, positive, negative. It's just like somebody saying to you, I just had a delicious chocolate-covered roach. Man, it was so good. And when you bite into the guts of the roach, it mixes with the chocolate, and it's so delicious. And then you say, you got to try some of the chocolate-covered roaches. Like, no, I don't want no chocolate-covered roach. That's the same thing we can do with incels, abuse, you know, name-calling, you know, degrading. All those things, we can leave it right where we find it because it's a chocolate-covered roach. We ain't eating no chocolate-covered roaches, no cherry-covered roaches. We ain't eating no roaches. So it's like we got to understand who we are. And if we're around people that's constantly beating us down and telling us what we're not and not what they, you know, what they can't be, come on. Walk away. Go somewhere else. And you can go places where the mentality of a person is just they hate themselves. They hate. They've been abused. They've been hurt. They've been, you know, just beat down. Hurt people going to hurt more people. But nobody will stop their hurting until somebody loves somebody and said, you know what, I understand you've been abused, you've been hurt, and you've been mistreated, but I got some love for you. So share the love, change the heart, and then help people to know that they worth, you know, they worth what they see other people with.
All right, I appreciate that. See, that sounds like a woman who has been through it, but who is an overcomer. Because, you know, you seem to have found yourself, you know yourself, and now you appreciate yourself, you love yourself, and God knows, you know, because I kind of know where you are. And thank God that you made it, because you had, you know, it took some time to get you where you are, and I appreciate that. And so for those who are listening here on this Zoom call as well as Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio, you had just heard from Miss Cheryl Ricks, who is a seasoned young lady. Man, she's out here, you know, helping other women, and she has a sister circle, and she wrote many books on the subject matter. So if you are a lady or a man and you want to hear talk to somebody or read about somebody who's been through it, who knows about it, that you need to give her a call, talk to her. And Cheryl, if you can you put your information down in the chat room so for those who may want to be in contact with you or even may want to purchase your books?
Sure.
And
sure.
I would appreciate that. Okay. I'm going to move right along. There's some more sisters on here, and I'm going to welcome, they haven't been on with us in a while. That's Miss Kim and Cynthia, William, Jahi and Williams. Can you unmute yourselves?
Good evening. Yes. Hi, everybody.
How you doing?
Hi, David.
How you been?
Fine.
Okay. Cynthia, now I've known you for a long time. When I first met Cynthia and her husband, Satavi Jahi, they were living up in what we call a session called Evanston Village. And I was doing a paper called The Informant and another publication called The Emerson Villager. And they used to write in that publication way back in them days. We had a lot of interaction as far as business is concerned. But one of the things that they was one of the first people that struck me about commitment. You see, they turned their whole downstairs in their house into like a daycare center, a recreation center, a dance studio, all in one kind of thing. That's how dedicated they were. And I came up there on several occasions, and I'm very observant, and I watched the children, how they interacted with them. And they were so engrossed with, not only the children was engrossed with them, it was vice versa. They were engrossed into the children as well. Even to the point that, you know, a few years later, cause like I said, we've been, you know, knowing each other for some years. I even had my children, when they were children, go to them. And I can just put it this way. You know, I felt a little bad about this, but especially my son David when he was about 2 or 3 years old. And because I was out here doing the newspaper, so I was busy quite a bit, and we used to leave, and my wife Mary was working, and so we had to find a babysitter for him, and we had family members watching from time to time, but it was always an obstacle for me to leave him, because he would go off, you know, he was like so to the hip to me, you know, he didn't want to be no place else. And I literally had to trick or hide from him, you know, have him do something, sneak away from him. And that used to bother me all day long. But, you know, that was the case pretty much. Until one day I took him to the rec center. He did the first day. He did the same thing where I literally had to sneak out of this facility. But then a day or two later, I took him to open the door. He was gone. And I say, wow. And so that's how much impact that they had with children. He ain't even look back sometime. And then I got a little upset about that. What's going on here? You know, because they understood children, and the children understood them. They showed the children love, and the children responded likewise. And I know another great lady, and that is my mother. And I watched her firsthand with 8 of us, how she had to maneuver with all the different children that she had. Her lifestyle at the same time that she had to work, you know, and back in them days, you know, ladies, y'all really had to put in some work because of what instant this and microwave that, you know, they had to really fix, you know, pack lunches and do all of those things and, you know, and then go to work as well. But in any case, I never seen a man. I don't care. We get out there and do our things, but, you know, I know people do different things, but I never see a man juggle as much as a woman can and put so much dedication and love in it at the same time. It seems like they just don't have no time in the day to do anything because it's just constantly, especially if they have children. But, Cynthia, my question to you is this, about this thing about a woman, because a lot of us really don't know. If you can explain it, you know, this nurturing thing that y'all have about yourselves. You know, especially when you was working with those children, I'm just curious why you didn't have to, but why did you do such a thing, you know, work with children like that and put so much love and care into them, especially the children that wasn't even yours?
I have to agree with the lady who spoke to Ms. Good, Michelle Ricks. It has to do with the Creator. Ever since I was 12 or 13 years old, for some reason, always with babysitting or caring for children or spending time with children. And there's 10 years difference between myself and the three of us that are in our 60s and the three in their 50s. So we did a lot of things with the ones that were in there, you know, that are younger than us, 10 years younger. So when I was, let's say 15, my sister was 5. So we did a lot of things with them at a young age. That became just the way that I was. And I believe it was a God thing. But when I got my first car, I would drive them out to routes. I'll send me to the beaches. Y'all know the beaches out there. I can't think of the name of them right now. Man-made lakes and things like that. Go to West Virginia. Go to Kings Dominion. Just do a lot of things. Just always like doing that. I had my first dance crew. My sister was in it. Kim Williams was in it. And we, you know, we're working with children. I just believe it's just a natural thing that happened in my life, that I always cared to share what I was able to do with the younger children and some of the ones my age. And it just kept going like that. It was also, I think, the way that my mom took care of us. You know, she gave us a lot of love and things like that. So I do believe that it's part of my family. My parents are very, very loving. DAC and my brothers and sisters, they're very loving parents. We did a lot of things together as family. And then, again, like I said, in my relationship with my younger brothers and sisters, who are all 10 years younger than me, that's what we did. We did things with them, took them to the circus. We just did a lot of fun things together. And it was always just wanting to share something that I thought was interesting, museums. You know, we grew up, if you grew up in Baltimore City public schools, you went to museums. So I wanted to share that with them. And on the weekend, we'd go to a museum. So these are the things that, as I began to expand to other children and take on dances and take on the, Chitab and I took on the Culture Center, was to share with them those things that we thought were enlightening in our lives. Getting out of the city or going to the city, Great Blacks and Wrecks, we always went there, educational things. So it's almost like if you know one thing, if you know how to read, can you read to someone else or can you help them read? If you know how to sew, can you help someone else sew. Like Satawi, he knows how to cook, so he would teach the children how to cook. It's just this whole thing about sharing the little teeny weeny things that you know how to do that are loving and kind and uplifting to someone else. And that, I believe, that comes from God. I walked away from it for a little while, you know, while we were, Satawi and I were caring for our daughter, Sunshine. She, you know, those of you know, she ended up in a wheelchair. And I walked away from it. I'm going to tell you the story real quick. We weren't dealing with any children for over a year or two in North Carolina. And my daughter decided to come back to Maryland. And the very day she got on the train to come back, a little girl who was perfectly healthy prior to that day was in a wheelchair. I was coming to the neighborhood and I'm walking and I see her and I said, what are you doing in a wheelchair? She said, I broke my ankle. Her name was like Mimi or something like that. I broke my ankle while I'm roller skating. And she said to me, can I come over to your house? And I was like, well, okay. So I'm sitting outside crocheting. I said, if you want to, you can come over and crochet. And just within those seconds, here I was, you know, working with a little girl in the community, and I hadn't planned it. It just seemed as though, you know, she was drawn to me. I was drawn to her, and all these little girls came by. We started doing crafts and things like that. I think sometimes you have to let God just feel and see what God, where he leads you, and see if that's a fit for you. Do you love it? Do you like it? Are you good at it? Does it work with you and other people? And it worked with me and children. And that's what I can say about that. You want to add something, Karen?
No, the children just gravitate to you.
Yeah. So I think it's a God thing. I really
think it's a God. Yeah.
Well, you know, thank God it is a God thing because, like I said, you know, when you deal with children, as I was saying earlier in the statement, that a lot of us has been traumatized as children. And, you know, sometimes, you know, it wasn't that something, you know, cruel happened to you sometimes. Sometimes, you know, people just say things to you. Like I told you, you know, I told most of you, a teacher told me when I was taking in class, told me shut up. And it impacted my entire life. And so, you know, but if you don't have nobody to share or somebody to see that something's going on with you, then, you know, sometimes because of our perception, we carry things around for the, you know, the rest of our lives sometimes. And it can be very damaging to you. But at the same time, but let me just say this, Cynthia, you know, I appreciate you because, like I said, you have enlightened so many young people, not just women, young ladies, but men as well, young men and boys as well. And, you know, I just want, you know, to thank you and your sister and Brother Satawi for the work y'all been doing over the years. And, but I'm going to move right along because, there's, you know, things are moving, you know, people, you know, chiming in. And I just want to get some thoughts and ideas from the ladies first before I bring the gentlemen in. Because, you know, men, well, like most men, you know, we're very curious about a lot of things about women. And it's because we have been, you know, to be quite frank with you, have really lack of knowledge when it comes to women. Because, you know, we were told this. You know, most of us were brought up in the streets. And and most of us, you know, learned by brothers who didn't know no more than we did, just by hearsay. And as I grew older, come to find out just about everything I was taught about women was totally wrong. And that's why so much misconfusion goes on between relationships because, you know, we didn't have that kind of nurturing ourselves with men, through men, because I think they were misled as well, you know, from generation to generation. And I can to kind of understand why, because the way we were treated in slavery, you know, in this country, that's kind of far as we can go back, even though we go back to Africa and this, that, but our lineage pretty much come from that point. And when they separated our families, abused the women and abused the men as well, took the families apart, you know, made men go around and have relationships with women so they can bring more children into the world. And I think that has been handed down from generation to generation. And unfortunately, it still affects, you know, our relationships. And but before I move on, there's several other women that just had joined us. And I was just having a discussion. You know, I'm curious myself because I'm always a student. And I just not only want, you know, ask questions about women and certain things, but, you know, I want to know, but I just want other people to know how special you ladies are. in so many ways, how unique you are in so many different ways. And like I said, I've never seen any man in my lifetime do much as a woman did, well, at least the women in my lifetime, that just get up from day, from morning to night, serving, giving, loving, putting up with a lot of stuff, and then get back up the next day and go through it all again. And you know, just like you don't have any time for yourself. But in any case, you know, I just want you to know that I appreciate you, not just because of this month. I appreciate you because just who you really are and who you are in God as well. And Ms. Sherry Cook, I know you just joined us. Can you unmute yourself?
Good evening. I'm driving. How are you?
Okay, well, we don't want you to get in no trouble. Just one, because I know you're an author as well. And
yes,
and you deal with a lot of issues. You deal with some women issues. And can I ask you why? What for? How come? Why did you write this book in the first place?
Wow. So I wrote the book because one day I woke up. And one day I woke up to trust in the process and how important that was for my life. And as I was a single mother raising my twins, of course, I had my mother and my grandparents to help me. But I was, of course, what the world says, I was a single parent. And I had lost the joy of being a mom and the joy of who I was and lost myself in just the everyday hustle and bustle of life. But one day I woke up. One day I woke up to trust in this process. I had to be present with my children. I had to let my children know that they were the best thing and not the stressful thing. I had to just shift some things in my life and my response to life and to them. And it just is not a book of my life, but it's just a book of different things that I applied to my life when I was raising them and how they grew me as they grew up. So that's why I wrote it. Thank you for asking me.
You know, I appreciate that because Sister Cheryl Ricks, before you came on, explained to me, you know, she woke up too.
You're not telling anybody else. You can do.
Okay. You know, she woke up too. Now she understands. She know why, you know, she does the thing that she do, but she had to overcome a lot of obstacles, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate your book. And if, I know you're driving, so but you can find Miss Sherry Cook in the National Black Unity Union for those who want to get in contact with her about her book and about her and some of the services that she provides. Miss Joy Ford, can you unmute yourself?
Good evening, everyone.
Yeah, you know, David Murphy, he always asking questions and pulling people up and, you know, just asking questions. And like I said, you should know by now, I'm not a journalist, but, you know, I'm just inquisitive. And,
yeah.
And we're talking about ladies and some of the challenges and how they overcame some things. In your case, now, you wrote quite a few children's books. You're an author as well. You wrote quite a few books about children. And God knows that. I wish somebody would have had them ideas back when I was coming up. Because,
yeah,
like I said, I became an introvert because I had no other references to go to. I didn't have no book saying, yes, I can, or I'm this and I'm that, you know. What they said, I accepted it, you know. And thank God today, God raised up enough people now to give children some options. You know, when they go through something, they can pick up a children's book and get inspiration from this, from their point of view, from, you know, something that they can understand. And the question I'm gonna ask you is, why did you write these books? Where did they come from, you know?
Well, I started writing stories at a very young age. I grew up in the country, and so there wasn't a lot of things to do. But in my spare time, one of the things I loved to do was just stories and create things and be imaginative. And I figured that a lot of children would love to read the stories that I had written. So I began then, but it took many years later when something happened, and I decided I didn't want to write. And so some 40 years later, I began writing these stories, and I just get an idea about something and decide to just sit down and take the time to be creative. And it's really a relief for me just to write, you know, and relieve stress sometime, or just to be creative, as I know I've been given that gift to be. And I've always loved stories that rhyme. So many of my stories do rhyme, and And I know children would enjoy reading them, but as you know, back in the day, we didn't see many of our own faces on the books that we had choices of in the library. And it was really interesting to me last week to hear Kathleen say how many of the children really don't gravitate to the books that have their own faces on them of Black children or melanated children. So we definitely have to continue to write these type of books for kids and make sure that the illustrations the children can enjoy and see themselves. They tell me there's many more stories written about animals than there are about Black children. So I know I want to do my part to share my creative stories with them. And I'm looking forward to releasing some new books in 2023 for children. And I don't just write children books. Sometimes in my spare time, I write other types of books as well. And one of the stories that I want to release in 2024 is my story, Came to Forgive and to Begin Writing, and my journey since I left the, I didn't leave the Baltimore school system. They terminated me because of one credit that I was missing. So even with that obstacle, it has directed my path to where I am today. So I'm thankful for that. And yes, I enjoy writing these stories, and I hope to share them with children in the schools very soon. I'm looking forward to doing that. And thank you, David, for allowing me to speak this evening.
Okay, good, because I want you to hold on. I want you ladies to hold on for a minute, because I'm going to bring these men in now. And hopefully we can start a little dialogue. I don't think these brothers too shy, because sometimes if they like me, they're very curious, you know, about each other. I'm talking about Black men and Black women. And women, I put in the topic, you know, what you want, you know, and what do you expect from men? Not what you expect, but how men can help. And if you step up right now and if something is on your mind about us men or something that you think suggests that we can do to assist you, because, you know, it takes the whole village, every man, woman, and child.
I'd like to chime in on that.
Amen. Come on in.
What we women would really appreciate you brothers to do is to recognize the kings you guys are. Just get it. You're not your mistakes. You're not your flaws. You're not the things you don't know. You're not the things that happen to you. You all are kings. And as kings, you got to understand that. It doesn't matter about the adversity that y'all have to take. I know it's a whole lot for y'all, probably even more for y'all than it is for women in some respects. But you got to know that you're worth it. You know, we love y'all with all our heart. We are here to help. We are here to let y'all know y'all ain't in this by yourself. And we want y'all to know we're not in this by ourselves. We know that y'all are there for us. And we just got to get to a place where we women and men know we need each other. I know we get romantically involved with each other and the sex come in and stuff go out the window. That's all we do together is the sex. But it's so much more that men and women can do together besides having sex. We got to recognize that there's something that God put in a man that a woman needs. There's something that God put in a woman that a man needs. Stop trying to do this without us. Stop trying to do it without other brothers. Just like I talk about sister circles, women having other women on the journey of womanhood. Men need other brothers on the journey of manhood. There's some things you're not going to be able to share with women. Just like there's something women not going to be able to share with men. But once we start having the dialogue with our own group, whether it's we're women with women or men with men, then we can start having a dialogue with one another. So just know that you guys are awesome. You're amazing. I mean, there's a lot of people that, you know, cross, you know, different races to marry different kinds of men. But I don't want no man but a Black man. You guys are amazing. Y'all are awesome. I'm your queen. We're your queens. We want y'all to know y'all got it like that. Walk in it. You know, process that healing. You know, get healed. If some stuff happens, some stuff, you know, get the forgiveness of God. You know, accept who you are, the good, the bad, the ugly. We all got to look at not just our faults, our shortcomings and things that we've made mistakes. And we got to look at the good part of ourselves, too. We're not just all our mistakes. So just know that y'all are worth it, and y'all don't have to suffer alone. We don't have to suffer without you guys, you know. So just know y'all got it. Y'all deserve it. You're worthy of it. And y'all, our kings, we need y'all to show up and walk in that thing.
All right, my sister. All right. Dr. Pender.
Yes, sir. I'm here. And
I know you heard my sister. You deal with a lot of these issues that people go through.
Yes.
Because, from childhood, clinical, and everything else. So what
yes,
say
indeed.
You on what my sister just said?
Well, she's right on point is because, in fact, it's a challenge to everyone on the broadcast and above and the world. Is because this next article that I'm writing, hopefully if the Lord allow me to do so, it's about appreciation. And if we can begin to appreciate one another for the smallest things, the rest, everything else goes, it's downhill. It has not, it's one of the best things in the world is to appreciate, because when our Father made us, he appreciated us, not us enough to make us in his image. So therefore, why can't I appreciate you? I have to look past your faults, and I can't hold you to anything, but I have to appreciate you as an individual. And one of the keys to family involvement is appreciation. That's the key right there. Once we have that in the family, everything else evolves from that. But I had something else here, and I can't take the word of that. Respect. And once you begin those small words like that and begin to build on them, then the whole community, the whole family began to evolve to a more perfect family. I mean, not perfect, but it's better than norm. Because our family was actually divided by the system in which we live in. And so now we have to, as a unit, like the sister said, we have to come together and begin to appreciate our one another. In fact, y'all don't cost as much money as that kryptonite. Tiger Woods staying up through the nose behind that kryptonite, but I don't think y'all sisters would do that. But what happened, we have to learn how to respect you guys, is because we were taught not to respect you. So now we're beginning to understand that, hey, that could be somebody's mother, somebody's sister. Why can't we respect you? At the same time, I can't be so macho as to say, hey, listen, I'm sorry. I apologize. Those small things like that, you can build on those small things, and from that, I think the community would be a whole lot better. But the challenge is going to be in the newspaper. Thank you very much, and you guys have a great evening.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Brother Unisa, how are you, sir? Can you unmute yourself, sir?
I'm doing my way to your show.
Okay, I got you. Okay, got it. All right, he double tapped. Asking. All right. Brother Dr. Leroy McKenzie.
Yes, sir. I'm here. Uh-oh. I can't hear you, Brother David. Can you hear me?
I hear you, Leroy.
Yeah, I hear you too, Leroy. But listen, Leroy, go ahead and do your thing, man, because I don't know if David got dropped off temporarily or not, but I think you kind of know what the question is probably is that, you know, what do you think about what the sisters have already stated? And on top of that, what is your own personal view on women?
No, I think the sisters that have spoken tonight have all said some great and tremendous things, and we all want to, to thank them for being who they are in this Women's History, National Women's History Month. And I think it's important that we do, and I'm glad that you all decided to do this tonight so that we hear the voices and we know what it is, one, what they feel they need from us. And these are the kind of dialogues that I believe need to happen. Because most of the time when you see, when you have discussions like this, it's usually either all men or all women, or if you have men and women, they're usually kind of talking at each other as opposed to each other. So I like that you all wanted to create this space where we could hear from them. and have a clear understanding of what it means to get support from us, what type of support that they need from us, what it is that they, you know, that they, the some struggles that they might have had, some great things that they are accomplishing and are doing. That's very important that we see it and that and that we hear it, because there's been so many things that I believe that, you know, that the black woman, and that's what we talk about tonight, you know, black women specifically, are just phenomenal, and they are great at things that they're doing. They have been through a lot. They've accomplished a lot. And those are the things that we need to listen to, that we need to kind of acknowledge and to actually lift them up in the things that they're doing. So I just echo, you know, kind of the things that they've saying and have been listening, and hopefully, you know, this dialogue actually leads to other things that we can actually not only hear, but also achieve together, move forward together. Those things that we're doing well, we continue to do. Those things that might need a little work and we kind of need to step up with, that we step up and that we do. And this is the perfect time to kind of acknowledge all of that and to be able to listen to all that. So it's been great to be able to hear the women talk from their perspective and their lens about what this life looks like. So that's what I'll add to that this evening. David, are you there? Uh-oh. I think he's actually still muted, because I can see you, Brother David.
Can you hear me? Hear can you hear me now?
Yeah, now you can. Yep.
Back on. You're back in the line, man. We can hear you.
Well, let that say before, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish up, bro, because, you know, I'm having some difficulties here.
No, I'm good. Yeah, I'm finished.
Well, let me just say this. You know, it must be somebody, something don't want me to say something, but, you know, I'm going to say it anyway. Mr. Murphy, I was calling on you as well.
All righty. I got to tell you that when I think about women and the relationship that they have with men and the relationship they have with humankind, it's an amazing little tale. You know, the idea of who a man is supposed to be and an idea of what a woman is supposed to be, of course, has been construed, and of course has been galvanized and made chauvinistic in a lot of different ways. And it's a certain type of a person that treats the woman a certain type of way. But what I've learned is that I had the opportunity of dealing with women when they first came in the military, and it was an all-male army, and I had to deal with soldiers who had the same rank, who were getting the same pay, but were, in a sense, unequal, some in size, some in strength, some in, you know, and some other things. However, one of the things that I did find is this. Your size and your strength have absolutely nothing to do with your sexual orientation. Not so much as that you physically, you know, men grow bigger than women, testosterone and all that kind of stuff. But pound for pound, ounce for ounce, I have seen women outdo men over and over and over again, all things being equal. Case in point, Kathleen's sister, for instance. She come into the military, and she's a typical female. And they have this thing called the Iron Man / Iron Woman. They had to change it from Iron Man to Iron Person. And the officer corps for the United States Army. And so Willa comes in, and she's no specific athlete. She didn't play basketball or baseball or football, nothing like that in high school, none of that kind of stuff. She was just a regular old girl. And lo and behold, not only in basic training, but also 2 years in a row, she comes back and she is the Iron Woman. And I'll be honest with you, unopposing, you know, a whole lot of muscle, all that kind of stuff. So it's not that. The deal is, if I'm trying to get other people to understand this, is that there is no respect to a person. And if you are a good person, I guarantee you can do some great things. if you are lacking in spirit and not knowing yourself and not appreciating yourself and not giving yourself the good stuff that you need, you won't give it to nobody else because you don't have it to get. And so one of the things I'm suggesting that everybody do is understand that women are awesome. I'm talking about my mama, my sister, my wife, my granddaughter. Yeah, they are awesome creatures on this planet. Wouldn't take nothing for now one of them. However, I honestly believe that they are great because they're individually great. My mother's not great because she's just my mother. My mother's great because of the fact that she's done some wonderful things in this life. And anybody who knows her knows exactly what I'm talking about. She's not great because she's my mother. She's great because she's a great black woman. Back to you, David.
All right. Brother Haki, can you unmute yourself, sir? Yeah, now Brother Haki travels all over the world. He goes to all of these types of inventions and seminars and a whole bunch of things. And I like to get his opinion because his brother traveled a lot, and he traveled all over the world, and he gets to observe women from all, you know, throughout the diaspora. And Brother Haki, and you know, I know you know what pretty much goes here in this country, but going on around the, you know, around the world, what is your observation of how, from your perspective, how you see women being treated, as far as you are concerned, and you deal with She Rolls and a whole bunch of organizations.
Yeah. Certainly. Thank you, Brother David, and happy Women's History Month to all of my co-editors, my elders, my queen mothers that are on here. So, yes, Brother David, I appreciate that. Well, certainly, just one thing I learned, for instance, we have an elder named Mama Ade, and she gives a story of when she's in Africa, how the youth actually treat her with the highest level of respect. And so for me, you know, just seeing that and hearing that, that's not to, you know, say how individuals are necessarily treated in America, but, you know, I think it's, you know, indicative of how many, how American culture is conditioned. I mean, me growing up here and seeing how people would just do things for elders that they didn't even know, you know, it's a testament to the community that many actually feel. And so, you know, I'll just open with that, and I'll say that, you know, one thing I always say, I've been supportive of different women organizations, Black Women for Positive Change, which is a national organization, and She Rolls Sisterhood. And, you know, I had the pleasure to working closely with Senator Shirley Nathan Pulliam over the past 2 years. And I want everybody to give a prayer for her. She continues to heal from a stroke that she had. So she's like always at the hospital. She was up there just a couple of days ago. So, but, you know, she continues to be a fighter, and, you know, she just got, you know, honored and recognized at the University of Maryland. And so, you know, we have to be there to support our elders, but also, you know, just the young women as well, you know, just teaching young sisters how to be, how to be a little girl, you know, a young queen, how to be a young lady. But then moving up to becoming an adult, you know. And so I think that starts in the home. And so we have to do that. So, and I'll just close and say I will be heading to New York, to the United Nations. There's a significant amount of female, you know, headed operations, organizations for Women History Month. And I think on the 16th is the the Day of the African Woman. So there's some events up there. Sister Kim is already there with several of, you know, her sisters from around the world. You know, so I'm looking forward. This will be my first time going to the United Nations. Get my United Nations badge. So just looking forward. I mean, I may be the only brother there, but, you know, I'm there to work. So sometimes, you know, you have to just, you know, support how you can. And I'm the designated driver for everything these next couple of days in New York. So I'm looking forward to heading up there. It's going to be an interesting experience for me. So I'm just blessed.
Let me give you some hint, brother. You know, it's an honor and a privilege, you know, to be that man and with a large group of women.
So you will get an education.
And the reason why I say that is because I told some of you before, you know, when I used to go to New Psalmist, I was the vice president of the singles ministry there. It was 400 women, 40 men.
Wow.
And we put on a lot of events and we did a lot of things. We did a lot of studies, a lot of communicating with each other. And that's when I really learned that I had to unlearn a lot of stuff about women. And because everything I was brought up, man, it was a bunch of lies. My brothers was telling me and everything else, man. And so, you know, so God is elevating you, brothers, for, you know, because that's an honor and a privilege. And speaking of young ladies, she may thought I forgot about Miss Harris. How are you? Can you unmute yourself?
Hello.
How are you? Now, I know I didn't call you on purpose because I wanted you to hear some of, obviously, seasoned women felt about this and felt about that. And I also hear some of the men say this and this, that. Now, you're a very young lady, as far as I'm concerned. But you do, you're not a baby at all, in no sense of the man. You're a woman. And you're going through those stages that, like, most of them had to go through. And when they was going through it, I can guarantee you, you know, was a lot of things going on in their life, things with new relationships and you trying to do this and trying to do it like most women always do, and you have to deal with men and and a lot of foolishness sometimes you have to put up with. And as a young lady, you know, and you've been around us long enough to know that, you know, we all have to grow into things sometimes, you know, but, you know, it's good to be around people that can teach you and can help you. Yeah. From your perspective, let me ask you this. When it comes to, you know, family relationships, from your perspective in this day and time, does family and yeah, is that in your radar, or do you see any hope for that kind of stuff with you because of the way things are today, or is just that is everybody for himself? You know, I'm just trying to get a feel from this, even from your perspective, the way relationships and family issues and all this kind of stuff is coming to play from your point of view, though. You know, you don't speak for the whole world, so I'm talking about your world.
So from my world, before, like, I wasn't really into, like, I was just, like, business, because, you know, who wants to, you know, get into relationships and after being hurt and different things in life happening. So mine was just more business. But then, you know, once I, you know, started, you know, paying attention to reading the Bible, studying the Bible, you know, getting in touch with God, I became more interested in family. So that's why I am now interested in family. It is difficult nowadays because of the way the world is. I still think about, I don't know if I want to bring a child in this world, but then, you know, I do, my boyfriend does. Only thing, he do more than me. Like my peers and things is, It is difficult finding a good guy. I don't want to just pin everything on the guys, but it is difficult finding a good guy because everyone is hurt. And now the females, you know, act out and, you know, they're more masculine now than feminine. And because when we try to be feminine, we get hurt. So, you know, it is difficult holding a black family together. Because it's always a battle. If they only understand that we're, you know, here to help one another and understand the feminine and masculine, you know, I feel like things would be better if they actually understood what woman and man was made for and not just the religious views, but the actual, you know, what we're actually created for. So that's my input on it.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I want some of my sisters on here to you know, just share some things with you because, like I said, you and they were there one time in their lifetime. And, you know, they evolved from a lot of things and they have some experiences in life now. Okay. And they still going through experiences in life, just like all of us are, men and women. And a lot of these sisters have wrote books on this and wrote books on that. And so some of you ladies who are authors or just mothers or big sisters, what kind of advice would you give this young lady so that she can have a better future, you know, or make better choices in her life so that she may can have a life, you know, at her age, make it really worthwhile? Anybody can chime in.
Well, one of the things that I realized from my own path as a younger woman, a lot of things when I was younger, I was trying to find from other people instead of finding them within myself. I wanted love. I wanted somebody to love me, but I was loving everybody else, but I wasn't loving me. I wanted other people to be good to me, but I wasn't being good to me. I wanted other people to treat me nicely and say nice things about me, but I wasn't speaking nice things to myself. So as women and as, you know, at any age as a woman, you know, if you're a younger woman, older woman, it doesn't matter where you are on the journey of womanhood. We must heal. We must learn. We must grow. And we can't do that in a vacuum. We need other women on the journey. And the more different women are when we come together, the more we benefit from one another. So get yourself a sister circle. God will give you the ability to pick, you know, quality women to walk with on your journey of womanhood. He will show you the ones that you can open up to, the ones that you can grow with, the ones that can grow with you. He will show that to you. It's called the spirit of discernment. You know, get around, you know, your peers and get around other peers that are further along than you. And as I like to hear, each one teach one, each one reach one. So as you're learning from the women that's further along on the journey than you are, make sure you're reaching back to help another young lady who's not as far as long as you are. Because all of us are learning something that someone else hasn't figured out yet. They said you're never too old to learn and you're never too young to teach. So have different age women in your life, younger, older, same age. And then y'all grow and learn together. And just remember, we are all a work in progress. None of us have arrived. I'm going on 64 years old, and I'm sure some other people in the call might be older than me. But we're, you know, life is all about learning and growing and evolving. So what you know today is where you are. What you'll know tomorrow will be different from where you are today. So just keep learning and keep growing and keep being open and keep sharing. Because like I said before, we all are figuring something out that somebody else hasn't figured out. And someone else has figured something out that we have yet to figure out. So just keep sharing and keep, you know, keep the journey going.
So great.
Thank you.
I love that. And Cynthia Jahi, can you unmute yourself?
Yes, hello again.
Yeah, you dealt with a lot of young ladies, and you heard that my young sister, you know, you heard some of the things that she's going through, you've been through, y'all been through. What kind of advice would you share with this young lady for, you know, because, you know, it can be difficult during these times, and sometimes, you know, we have to make choices sometimes, and we don't always, I'm talking about men and women, we don't always make the right choices, because sometimes, like Sister Shirley gave such great advice, that sometimes we need to be around people that can get, that really care about you, that will keep it real with you. And what kind of advice would you give to this young lady?
Well, I think that she's on the right track, personally, because she's already paying attention. A lot of times we don't pay attention. She's paying attention to the dynamics out here that women are becoming, young women are becoming much more masculine, and the reasons why, there are so many reasons why. A lot of times people go through life, they don't pay attention. So number one is that the fact that she's already paying attention. She has a young man, it sounds like, that's in her life, and she's, him and her seem to be dialoguing. That's very important, having the conversation about what they want out of their life. she surrounded herself with the people in this particular organization. That's very helpful because she's a part of something that's big. And as Sister Cheryl Rick said, having God in her life. Having God in her life is very, very important. And not just on a people say, yeah, I got God in my life. But you really have God in your life where you're studying and understanding what is the purpose of being a woman. What is the purpose of being a man? Why God even created family. You know, we have this family. And there are things that husband and wife are supposed to do together. And it's your husband and wife against the whole world sometimes. And it sounds like to me she's already kind of thinking through that. And thinking through whether it's a young man that's in her life now, whether he's a friend or whether he's a potential, really, a mate. But she seems to be already trying to figure those things out. So personally, I think she's on the right track. She has all those things under consideration. And as Sister Cheryl Rick said, there's so many things going on. There's so much violence actually right out here right now. So we actually do need to pull closer together in what we're doing. And I want to add one thing. This is not directed to Ms. Harris, but just to the men and women on here, because I am one of the older ones. I'm 67. I'm real happy to be 67. And that is that we do have to hold each other accountable. I know you said that we need to have a women's group, but even I think within each group, true accountability as to... And it kind of can become interpersonal. We don't want it to become too interpersonal. But we need to hold each other accountable. We're talking about people being married. What do we hold each other accountable? Because if marriages are failing, how can we help our marriages stay together? And that's something that we really haven't really talked about. What are some of the things that we can do to really help each other? The men help the other men that's in the group that may need some advice in that area, or some of the women helping the women. What do we need some advice in the area? Or, as we're on the call right now, men and women coming together to help each other. Because right now, we are the village. Am I correct that we are the village?
That's right.
And I don't think I should have to go outside of the village for advice. So this is my village, and I think this is where we should be able to come to really have that conversation. But I can tell you this. I think that a lot of it comes from maybe not having the trust that people will really mean what they say. And that's very important too. People have to mean what they say what they mean and do what they mean. You know, they say it, then do it. And I think that's very important. So the young lady, just keep her faith and to keep paying attention. That's very important. Paying attention and keep the conversation going with the young man in her life. That will be important. And I just thank you for letting me try to add something to it. I don't know if I did or not, but thank you, David.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Let me just say this to you, though. You know, as far as a man is concerned, like I say, you know, unfortunately, most of us gonna have to unlearn some stuff, you know, because we've been told a bill of lies to be straight up about it. And I've learned one thing, if I have learned nothing else, is that, you know, we look for all the wrong things from outside sources, so to speak. But, you know, everything, the real treasure lies within. And until you start working on who you are, or whose you are, and get right with yourself, because I don't believe nobody can make you happy. You have to make yourself happy first. Then you can go out and make other people. You can share what you have. But until you're willing to do certain things to yourself, how in the world can you expect somebody else to do more? You know, I want my woman to be this way, that way, this way, this way. And yet you are not, as a man, willing to do what you need to do to be a man, to define a good woman. You have to be a good man to have a good woman. Are you willing to not do this and not do that? You know, we have to have an honest conversation with ourselves first. And I'm talking about man or woman. Who we are, what we want, why we're here, where we're going, what it takes and everything. We have to ask ourselves this. We have to get to know ourselves. And then once you do that, I do believe that you can make contributions not only to yourself but to everybody around you, and especially your mate. And you do have to have open conversation. You do have to ask some serious questions. This is not what you call, a lot of people get married for a lot of wrong reasons. How one look, how one feel, and what they expect, expectations, and everything else. But you know, this is my opinion, is that we have to be honest with ourselves, work on ourselves, And don't try to put too much on anybody that you're not willing to do yourself. And some of you brothers on here, man, you know, you heard what my sister Cynthia has spoke about, and sometimes we do need some brother circles. We have made some attempts, you know, I have made some attempts to try to get some brothers together so we can have, you know, even though I deal with me and Bill and all the rest of, we deal with black men, we share some things, but you know, sometimes with men, it is extremely difficult to open yourself up to another man unless you really have to trust that person. And see, I had that kind of people in my life. You know, I got Bill Gooden, Walter Murphy, and Dr. Appendix. And then, see, I don't, you know, because, see, I open myself up because I do know that, you know, I'm comfortable with me now. You know, and I'm not the same man I was 10 years ago when I was going through those issues. I ain't the same man I was six weeks ago. I'm constantly evolving. And so are we, all of us, are, whether you know it or not. And at the same time, I'm always a student. And I'm willing to learn something. But at the same time, life experiences, that, like Sister Cheryl said, you can also be a teacher and a student. But brothers, you know, we have a lot of things, man, that was sold to us. We don't pull the cry. We don't pull the feel this. We pull the use many women as possible to make a bigger man. And all of them things, like I say, is a bunch of lies. And one of the, I think, you know, and like I say, one of the things that I think, because I've never really been there, and I'm being honest about this. You know, God had a thing in the Bible about relationships. And I recall, you know, and it hit me. I said, man, that would be so perfect. Can you imagine being into someone? I'm talking about being intimate with someone physically, mentally, as well as spiritually, all three at one time. And I believe that's truly bliss. If you can find somebody that you, in all three of those areas, that can be totally into each other like that, man, I can't imagine something greater than that. And, you know, and that's something to strive for, or, you know, like I say, it, all things are possible. But at the same time, as far as brothers is concerned, especially to my young sister, is this. You know, one thing I do know men appreciate, when a woman can be honest with them, but she has to, first of all, not put them down, not beat them up, but have an understanding. And sometimes, you know, people got their guards, and like you said, you have to be tough and this, that. But if you're comfortable who you are, just because who you're, then you don't mind sharing what you want, how you feel, and things like that. And if the other person, if they're on the same page, you know, that's what sometimes that is the golden nuggets that they're looking for, somebody they can grow with, build with, and stuff. See, if you would never had this conversation if you just talking about how I feel about this person, or what I think about this person, what I hope this person to be. But, you know, again, until you have a deep conversation, you have to open yourself up, and you can't be too vulnerable, because if you're comfortable with yourself, ain't nothing nobody can do to you or with you, because you know who you are and what you want. But that's just my concern. Hey, brothers, can y'all chime in on this, as far as men and women is concerned, because we have a serious issue in the black community, and unfortunately, a lot of that has been handed down, like I say, from slavery, the way our slave master treated us. And it went from generation to generation, and but there is a key, and I know Dr. Pendon knows this, and I know quite a few brothers on here know this, that in the Word of God, and you know, I'm not trying to pick this show religion, but there are some serious, serious answers to a lot of our problems if you really look at them and read between the lines, because you know, and we are all wonderfully made, and we are powerful people. But, you know, we really have to, you know, start studying ourselves, look at ourselves. It took me almost a lifetime to get to where I'm at today. And I wish I had known. Sister Harris, if I had, was your age and had the understanding, there's not a lot of experience in life, but just having understanding of who you really are. And you can know that when you're 10 years old, 12 years old, 15 years old. If you know who you really are. And all I can say is this, and I'm going to leave it alone. Anybody else can chime in. God said one thing. He made us in his image. And you know how powerful God really is. Everything you see and hear and everything that he created. Everything that you see, he created through us. And if you know that he made you in his image, that he said you can do these things as well, you know, and you have that type of power of who you really are, then what can anybody do? If God is for you, what can anybody really do against you? If you're comfortable with who you really are now, at any age, you can go so far and you can be a blessing to so many more people. But in any case, any of you brothers, before we close it down, any of you sisters, you know, closing comments?
I wanted to pour into Ms. Harris. That's okay? Okay. I apologize because I'm walking in the house now. But I ditto what the other lady said to you as well, Ms. Harris. You have to excuse me. I just walked up the steps. That's a shame that I'm out of breath like that. That's what 2 years of being in the house of COVID is for this week, huh? But I wrote down a few things I just wanted to share. First, let me say this, that if no one has told you lately, I am proud of you. I'm proud of all of the accomplishments you've made. You said that you're reading your word. I'm proud of you. If nobody has hugged you lately, I hope you feel this hug to you. Let me explain something to you. Life will throw you a monkey wrench if you let it. But you're staying in the word. And I like that you say it, that you're staying in the word. And like I said, but everybody else pretty much said everything. But whatever you do, stay in tune to yourself. What makes you tick? What are your triggers? What makes you happy? What makes you go? What gives you the go and you and nobody else understands? Tap into that. I want you to tap into God's voice and what it sounds like directly for you. See, his voice is going to sound different for you than it sounds for me. That confirmation that he sends you will come differently for you than it comes for me. See, I know when God is speaking to me because my gut, my belly turns. Something just doesn't set well into my spirit, and it turns. And sometimes when I ignore that response and I allow myself to get in the way, and then I have to pull myself out of the abyss, and I have to pull myself out of all the detours that I've made, because 9 times out of 10, God directs us with the message. We just make a choice not to listen. So whatever God's voice is and whatever his confirmation is for you, I challenge you to begin to tap into that. Every day we should be learning something new. And if you're not, change the space and the place and the people that you're hanging around. And that's with every season of your life, because like Brother David said, we're constantly growing. We're not going to get to the point where we'll be like, oh, I've arrived. I got it. I know exactly what I'm supposed to do, because every day you'll be changing. I thought that I had it all put together. I really did. I thought I was on the right track and I was into purpose and I became the speaker and I was like, I know exactly what I want to do. And then all of a sudden the doors opened and now I have an acting career. I was like, where did this come from, right? So now I have to grow into this new phase of my life that I'm embracing, and I believe that God has opened doors to. So every day you'll be learning something new. Don't overstand life so much that you understand nothing. And I just continue to let you know that you're doing amazing. You're doing a great job. I love the flyer that you have up. I'm not sure if that's you on the picture. But whatever you're involved in, you're giving back to the community, and that's what life is all about, is to give back to others. So let me know how I can also help you out and assist, contribute to that cause. But just know that if nobody's told you today, I am proud of you. So thanks. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you. And by the way, everybody, I am having a prom charity event. This will be my second one. I have a nonprofit organization called Dieta Corporation, and I'm collecting male and female, formal attire. So yeah, this is what I'm doing, and I appreciate all the encouragement that you just gave me, Cherie, and everybody else. I really appreciate it. So yeah, and I'll drop my contact information in the chat.
Fantastic. You know, see, this is what I'm talking about. You know, we have a lot of young folks out there who are raising themselves, getting information from all the wrong places. Just like this young lady just said to you, those of you who are elders, that she appreciated this, the love that she gave, because I felt the love. I felt, because I know who you are. But can you imagine? Just think about this, our younger folks who don't get this, who don't see it, who's going through so much trauma and drama in their lives. And that's why what we do with the National Black Unity News is so extremely important, because you never know who's going to pick up this issue and read about this young lady or about you, about some of the things that they're going through, and y'all have been through it, and y'all giving this great advice to them. And it's a powerful thing. And then, see, what you're doing individually is amazing, as far as I'm concerned. But collectively, that synergy that comes from all of us working together is so, so powerful. And we are changing the world. We are changing people's lives. We are helping saving people's lives. And we do have to reach back, because your life is extremely important. Your experiences is important. And the gifts that God given you is extremely important. But you have to share those gifts, them talents that you have, that wisdom that you come to have. And there's people all around just waiting to say a word to them, just a kind word every once in a while. And I had the utmost respect for each and every one of you. So, but before we close, there's several people, like my brother just came from Panama, just joined us, Brother Raj Buki, and your niece is from England. He's doing another show, as you heard. And anybody else want to add to this conversation, because it's close, because you never know, like I said before, who's listening to us right now. We got people on Blog Talk Radio listening to us. We have people on Facebook Live that's listening to us. And after this public, after we close it down, people will be listening to us next week, 2 years from now. This still will be circulating. And you never know who would pick this up and hear it. So it's extremely important that God, when God puts something on your mind, on your heart, you know, we need to just, you know, speak up or speak out, you know, sometime, because your words, nobody can do it the way you can do it. Nobody can say it the way you say it. But sometimes just who you are, what you do, and your own experiences can help people tremendously, because I wish I had known people like you when I was coming up. If I had people like you in my circle, but I could have avoided so much trauma and drama. Because, you know, one thing about a child or young person or any person, I don't care who you are or what you've been through. When you see a sincere person who really care about you, they know it. You can't fake that. When they sense it, it's something in our nature, know that, you know, something about this person is real. They really care about them. They may ignore you. They may put up that fence like we often do, but they hear you. That's one thing a man cannot hide from. He can't hide from truth and love. And so, you know, I thank everybody before we, anybody, come on in, chime in before we chime out. Because like I said before, your words are so powerful. And what you do is so powerful. God wouldn't put that gift in you if he didn't, if it wasn't to be used. And so anybody before we close out. Okay. With that being said, ladies and gentlemen, Cherie, are you our guest speaker tomorrow night?
I don't know. Am I?
I thought I heard. You know. Mr. Murphy. Hey. Well, tomorrow night, we will be on at 7:30. Mr. Murphy.
I'm here. Kathy has that schedule, but regardless, whomever shows up for tomorrow night's call, you need to be there. And the bottom line is that at the end of the day, you know, what it's about is about the National Black Unity News, what it does, how it operates pretty much, and how you can participate. And on top of all of that, it is a wonderful 45 to 60 minute opportunity for you to share and to learn and to glean and to give. And more importantly, you might make a buck. Back to you, David.
Yes, and let me just say this. I'm going to just give you an update on what's taking place. I talked to a few people today. I've been talking for us. A lot of great things happening with this publication. A lot of us, you know, we deal with education and trying to train people. Well, we got a trade school here in Baltimore. It was always been trade school for 50-something years. It changed different hands. One time it was truck driving school, electronic school, all types of school, trades in this building. Now it's a black lady who runs and owns it now, and she's coming on board with us. And she got all types of great trades in there, from building airplane motors and cybersecurity and everything in between. And this thing could be a role model for the whole country. We can learn skills and stuff like that, you know, and it's very accessible. I'm talking about it don't cost a lot of money to get involved with that. Thank God for that. And also those who are in Baltimore, there's a organization called Sankofa. They have a children's museum. They're coming on board with us as well. There's people who are like a Dr. Johnson. He's coming in. She got a resorts in the Dominican Republic, and she's coming on board. So anybody want to travel, relax, and sit back in the sun and be waited on, catered on, she's in our family now, you know. And so, you know, of course, she works something out with you. Then we have a brother in a group that's coming in that actually going to build a village in. They're going to plan on building villages in Ghana. And stuff like this. So, man, like I say, the paper is growing with leaps and bounds. People are coming. Like I say, some are going. But, you know, if anybody's seen the video that I sent to you all, is that they're going to be a time soon and very soon, I believe. It's going to be what you call, some people call it overnight success, when this publication is going to bust wide open and going to be in such demand and people will be climbing to get involved with the publication because, like I said, we passed the thing called critical curve, and we stood the test of many obstacles. We stood the test of many, I mean, so much, and so many of us have been through so much, but we sticked and we stayed, but we got in when we could get in. We got out when, you know, because we couldn't, you know, there were certain situations in our life. But nevertheless, you all helped, those who were involved with it, you helped make this publication what it is. And you are significant, and well, you do know me. You know one thing about me, man, because I love y'all, man. You know y'all changed my life tremendously. You know y'all give me purpose and stuff, man. But I'm gonna just say this to you. You know we all had private I had private conversations just about everybody on here, And I know your hearts. I know your spirit. Cause you would have never been involved with the paper if your mindset wasn't right. That don't make you perfect or you all this and all that, because I'm not all this and all that either. And that probably never will be. But I do know one thing. We all have this in common. We want to help people. And we've been doing that pretty much all our lives. And so they know, you know, just that we're now doing it collectively. And I, you know, it would hurt me tremendously to not have y'all go to the mountaintop with us. And because you deserve it. You really do. And so I'm extending this invitation to you all. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call me. If you're going through something difficult, just call me and we can work things out. But don't you know, when God opened doors, don't close it, because I've done that many times in my lifetime. I closed many doors that God has opened for me. And so, again, pick up the phone and call me, because, like I said, I'm a blessed man. You know, God has blessed me with tools. And again, that's why I call myself a servant of servants. I serve people who actually serve people. That's my calling in life, and I love doing this. And I'm honored to do this, because that's why I said before, I get to be around people like you, people who are making a difference. Yes, it is a struggle. God put us all through a struggle. We that's why we're like gold now. He defined all that we had to go through that furnace. All of us have been. Everybody on here has been through it. And some of us are still going through it. But yet we still march on, no matter what. And so, again, collectively, we can work this thing out. We have so much power with us, and we never see the whole family on here, never ever. You only see 10 or 15, 20 of us on here, but it's all 50 of us. You know, they come on me, a lot of them have previous obligations and stuff like that, but we are an army. Do you know that people see this publication? They never, ever seen a publication with so many of us in it, black people in it, never, ever. You can't even find a publication with that many of us in it. You let me know if you do. And if it's a directory or something, you may find that many in there. But, you know, I'm talking about a publication that put out information the way we do. No. But it ain't about what we do and how much we put out. The bottom line is that we serve in people. I don't care what city, what state, or what country you live in. People like us are suffering. And a lot of us are suffering just because of the color of our skin. And that's why God has raised a lot of us up, a remnant of people that can help change this situation. Not making us better than anybody else, but to try to equal the playing field, because ain't nobody at this day and time going to help us. We have to help ourselves. And that's why God is putting us all together. And like I say, again, where I sit, I see nothing but great and wonderful things because I'm around great and wonderful people. We going to make it different. We have make it different. And I don't want to, you know, leave you behind because, like I said, you deserve this. You work too hard. You bled. You sweat. You shed your tears to get where you are today. You still shedding tears. But you don't have to do this by yourself. It does take the village. And we are that village. And so, family, much love and respect to you, each and every one of you. We are gone, and we're going to go whip over without you, but it would be so much better if we all went together. And so I have much love and respect for each and every one of you. Hope to see you tomorrow night. And so that's another thing, too. You have to show up sometimes. Now, I don't know, but I have a strong suspect. Just because of what we did tonight, just sharing, we just talked, we just had a conversation. But this young lady, Miss Harris on there, she got some advice from her elders. People that had no financial interest in her, nothing like that, just people just giving straight up advice. Do you know how rare that is for a young person to receive what y'all gave this evening? Most people would never get that in a lifetime. That many people just chiming in and saying good things or encouraging words to our young people. You know what they're hearing? They ain't this, they ain't that, and they should lock them up, they should do this, they ain't no good, or nothing. That's what they hear. They need to hear another voice. They need to hear our voices. And the only way we can do that is we have tools that can help. You can do it on your individual, but for collectively, that synergy is so powerful. And Cheryl, me and Cheryl, before the show, we say when two or three are gathered, can you imagine 9, 10, 15, 20 are gathered? And how powerful of a servant this is. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your time, your energy, your love, and everything else, man, because, like I say, man, I am so honored and so privileged to have worked with each and every one of you, and I'm always will be here for you, you know, as long as I'm here. You know, everybody can't get on the, you know, on the same boat at the same time sometimes, but at the same time, just so you know, in season and out, say, I'm here for you because that's the way God arranged it. So thank you. I'm going to bid you all good night. Take care.
Bye, Dave.
Well, take care, man.
Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Take care. God bless.
Good night, David. Bye, Cheryl. Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.